the Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Interesting lineup today with Jarrett Bell from USA Today coming up. We're going to talk about the interesting subject of black coaches. We're going to talk about young coaches, the Eric Mangenius mentality that has led to the hiring of Kiffin and Tomlin, two young coaches. We're going to talk about the matchup in the Super Bowl, and in particular, I want to start off with the idea that this may have been, some people think, Peyton Manning's defining moment, even if he doesn't do well in the Super Bowl. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but here is Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News from yesterday's show.
I think this last Sunday was his defining moment in the defining game of his career. That drive with 2:17 left, that defines his career. He is now a big game quarterback. You know, for years he's been losing that game. He's been making mistakes that cost him his team a chance to reach championship. Now he made the plays. And I think it was even more telling that Tom Brady got on the field after Manning and made the turnover that ended New England's shot. You know, that was usually a role reversal. That was usually Brady making a drive, Manning following up the mistake. Not anymore.
That's Rick Goslin, and when we come back, we'll talk with Jarrett Bell, then we'll go to Vinny Del Negro talking about the very clear duo that are the favorites to win the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns, whether Steve Nash deserves a real shot at a third straight MVP. Most people are saying that he is playing better than ever. Talk about the Nuggets a little bit and how much better they're playing, their fifth straight win. And also an interesting, rather curious firing of Dwayne Casey when the Timberwolves were playing better than expected. And finally, we'll finish today with Luke Jensen, our wonderful correspondent covering the Aussie Open in tennis down there, down under, and the surprising upset of Rafael Nadal. All that and more on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a biweekly mortgage program or a debt roll down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
I know you hate missing your favorite show. Now, you don't have to. Sign up for the podcast and have Ron Barr, Nick Lowry, Dave Meltzer, and Rick Tittle delivered directly to your computer, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want. It's easy. Go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button next to the show you want. Visit sportsbyline.com today. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games with one of the harder working people who's going to be getting ready to go down to Miami. That can't be a bad prospect, South Beach. Tell the truth, Jarrett.
Hey, man. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing fine. You know, tell me about it. How much chance do you have to enjoy yourself down there in Super Bowl? With all the hype, you being part of the hype in a way, how much can you enjoy and sort of celebrate the season itself? Do you have time to relax a little bit during the 8 days before?
Not as much as my wife thinks I do, okay? Let me tell you.
Officially.
It really is a grind. And, you know, typically I really don't get a chance to unwind really until like Saturday night. Then I'm getting ready for the game. So, you know, I'll go out and go to a couple receptions and a couple parties during the week. And, you know, maybe Thursday night's a good time because we've got our Friday paper put to bed by then. But it's not as much time as you'd think for me as a reporter, because I got to do all these stories, and you only have so much access at the players, and quality access is even tougher to get. And so it's a zoo, and it's a definite work week.
You know, there are some great parties I would go to. I remember I went to Dick Schaap's party the night before the Super Bowl every year, and down there in Miami we went to Joe Stone Crabs, and
and
that was fun. Then there's the commissioner's party. But do you think that some of that's sort of overrated? For the guys that are around the NFL all the time, for most of them, is it still work?
It is work, and it's not work. But, you know, I'm not big on these parties where you have to wait in line to eat. You know what I'm saying? You can go
to
a party, and you're 15 minutes waiting for some shrimp, and that can be a bit challenging. So, I've been to, like, 15 Super Bowls. So, you know, I might sound a bit jaded or whatever, but, you know, when you've never done it before, it's the biggest thing, and it's the greatest thing. And then if you've done it several times, then it gets to be, you know, more monotonous. But I still enjoy going out, you know, and doing a few things, because you get to see people that you know, it's like a big convention. You get to see people you haven't seen, and you know, and that's all through the week. And I'm not just talking about other media people, obviously, but people from around the league, you know, other coaches, executives, you know, players. A ton of people will be in and out and around, and so it's just that whole atmosphere is still electrifying. So even after 15 Super Bowls, I mean, I'll get excited for that, because you'll get to see people and you'll talk and that sort of thing. So it's a great networking opportunity, okay?
And I think this has been, in my view, the best season ever for the NFL, because it's been so unpredictable and crazy, yet the athleticism, the physical achievements, and most importantly, the emotional achievements, especially most recently what Peyton Manning did. And in the first segment, we talked with Rick Goslin about this as being the defining moment of his career. Then I asked Ron Jaworski the same question. Was this pass game his defining moment as a quarterback? And this is what Ron said.
Great.
I disagree. It certainly was a defining game for Peyton Manning, but if he is able to win the Super Bowl and clutch that Vince Lombardi trophy, certainly that would be the defining moment. I mean, there's no question Peyton has taken the proverbial monkey off his back with an outstanding game and about as good a second half as you will ever see a quarterback play against a great defense. And when you think of the intelligence and athletic ability of that New England defense, and they were able to put 32 points on the board in the second half, shows me what a great performance Peyton Manning and the Colts offense had in that game. By doing that, you know, he got the weight of the world off his shoulders. But I know Peyton well enough. He understands the rich history and tradition of the National Football League, and particularly the quarterback position, and he knows that his career will ultimately be defined by winning a world championship.
Jared, how do you feel about that? I mean, ultimately, don't you think, just like with Steve Young with the 6 touchdown passes, that cemented his place in history?
Yeah, I agree with what Jaw said. You know, definitely a Super Bowl. I mean, you can't top that unless you get another one and another one, okay? But I think when you talk about defining moments, you talk about that thing that everybody will never forget. And, hey, if they win the Super Bowl, yeah, it's going to be a crowning moment for his career, and it's going to cement that part of it. But who knows how that's going to happen? What if they win on a fumble recovery by Bob Sanders, or what if, you know, they get a shot? You know, there's a lot of ways that can happen. So when you talk about defining moment, it's like, okay, 2:17 left on the clock. Peyton Manning's on the sideline praying, okay, before he goes out for that last drive, and then he gets it done. I mean, when you think about John Elway and you say, what's the defining moment, I don't know if you think of it as much as those Super Bowls as you do the drive. When you think about Adam Vinatieri, I don't know if you think of it as those kicks, which were ultra important in the Super Bowls, as you do that kick in the snow. So defining moment, you know, career highlight, snapshot, I think it's going to be tough for Peyton Manning to top what happened in the AFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl, okay? Now, I'm not saying it won't be top because, hey, they may be down with a minute to go against the Bears and they'll have to do it again. But, you know, when you think of Joe Montana, snapshot, what is it? It's that drive against the Cowboys and the catch, okay? That's what, when you say defining moment. Yeah, when you say defining moment, a lot of times it might not be the biggest moment or even the most important moment in the grand scheme, but it might be the one that you'll never forget. And when you say Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, you think it's a championship game. That wasn't a Super Bowl, okay?
Adam, you know what? Let me just say this. When you have those moments, I remember kicking the game-winning field goal the last second of my high school career, and as crazy as it sounds, I think that prepared me for later things. And on a much bigger scale, of course, you know, I didn't give up and I ended up making it. Then you look at Montana and having that drive against the Cowboys, signaling a new era where the Cowboys are really on the downslide, and Joe Montana's confidence soared from that point. And my point here,
it propelled them.
It helps.
Super Bowls. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think Manning's going to have a level of confidence now and a focus that was not allowed him before, and I think for that reason he's going to play even better.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a big game, no question. And, you know, it's a shame that Rex Grossman has to he makes it to the Super Bowl now. With all the problems that Rex Grossman's had, he's got to look on the other side, and the comparison is Peyton Manning. I mean, it's like the textbook quarterback against the guy who still needs to, you know, to learn a few things. But I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl, and I wouldn't say that Indianapolis has, you know, I mean, they could go in, and like you said, Steve Young threw those 6 touchdown passes. They could do that, but I think the Bears' defense is going to have a lot to prove, you know, in its own right. And so it might be a tighter game than some people think.
I think it will be because they have the ability over in Chicago to turn the ball over to intimidate quarterbacks at a whole new level. And speaking of people that intimidate and sometimes distract, I thought we would switch to T.O.'s comment about the departure of Bill Parcells. He's like my grandmother. You love him, but he's stuck in the old ways. Do you think that Bill Parcells felt like he was becoming too much of the old coach, and that we are now entering a new era of young coaches, young Eric Mangini's?
Well, there's some of that, but you know what? I think if you're a coach and you're successful and you can get your message across and you can relate to people, you could be 65, 70 years old and still do that. And I don't think that Bill Parcells. You know, I really don't. I think Bill Parcells is a great coach, obviously. I mean, that's not, but I'm just saying from the standpoint of being able to relate to people. I don't know if age has anything to do with that, because you could be a much younger coach, and if you can't relate, then your message may never get across, okay? And you may not get through and motivate and all that. I think Bill Parcells still has that. Now, what's changed probably more so is the athlete, okay? You talk about the athlete from 30 years ago, 20 years ago to today, with, you know, the money that's involved and, you know, the guarantees that these guys have. And a lot of times I think it's tougher for a coach to get his message through. So maybe if a younger guy can do that, you know, some people will look at that as a plus. But I don't see where that takes anything away from Bill Parcells. And, you know, you mentioned T.O. and what he says. I mean, that just kind of shows you where he's at. I mean, and I think a lot of us, you know, look at T.O. as, you know, being this egomaniac anyway, and as much as he wants to tell you that he's a good team guy and all that stuff, I mean, he can be full of it so much. And here's just another example.
Well, here's a couple words from Rick Goslin about maybe what were the real reasons why Parcells left.
Money.
His team in football, and he finished one game over 500.
I think he realized he probably couldn't win the Super Bowl next year with this team, so why stay? I don't think he was here to build the Cowboys. I think he was here to win. And if
he was here to win, and maybe it was just time. Maybe he was burned out. Well, listen, buddy, we know you're busy, but Jared Bell, as always, people, stay tuned for Jared Bell's columns in USA Today, and we'll check in with you in a few days, my friend. Appreciate it.
Okay, Nick, you have a good one. Talk to you.
Thank you, sir. When we come back, Kelly from Chicago, stay with us. We'll talk to you about defining moments, and we'll go to Vinny Del Negro on the NBA beat on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
If you think that you have to fight the crowds and long lines this tax season, think again. The Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center will prepare you tax returns over the phone. We could tell you how easy and convenient it is, but our clients say it best. Just listen.
No appointments necessary. You get on the phone as simple as A, B, and C.
I saved a lot of money doing it over the phone and quickly.
I knew that they were going to take full advantage of all the tax laws to help me.
It was fast and convenient, and they were very professional.
Just pick up the phone and call them. You won't believe the results unless you call them. They're there for you. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Call them now.
Call the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center today. We'll work hard to get you the biggest refund possible. Time to prepare tax returns and refund qualifications will vary. Services not available in New York or Oregon. Call now and you'll save 10% off our tax preparation fees. Call 800-923-3265. That's 800-923-3265. 800-923-3265. Call now.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the seven key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games. Well, we got a call from Kelly from Chicago about defining moments. Kelly, you excited up there in Chicago?
Yes, sir, I am, man. And I think that a defining moment in the Super Bowl is going to happen with the Bears' defense. Everybody's talking about Peyton Manning and his legacy and what he's going to do. And we've been doubted all year. We've been the most disrespected team, least respected team. And I believe that our defining moment is going to come with our defense. Peyton Manning down by 7, need a drive, and we're going to stop him.
You know, you say disrespect, which is a great thing to motivate a team, and certainly Brian Urlacher is one of those unique guys. It reminds me so much of Dick Butkus, but But don't you think that there's a lot of disrespect on the side of the Colts run defense? And people would laugh about them. They gave up 375 yards rushing just a few weeks before the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree with that, Nick. But my point is this, you know, they still got Peyton Manning. You know, we got Rex Grossman. And you know, we were 13-3, and they made every team in the NFL better than us. One week it was Dallas. You know, the next week it was Philly. And then the next week it was New Orleans. I mean, the whole year just about, we had the best record in the NFC, and we were never the best team. And people said that we didn't have a chance against New Orleans. I mean, all of the, you know, the pundits were saying that we're going to lose, and we didn't have a chance, and we dominated that team. So I'm looking at Indianapolis, and I think Rex Grossman's going to have a good game, and truly believe that we have a great chance against this team.
Yeah, Kelly, let me ask you something else, too. Do you think as you look at Lovie Smith and what he has done for that team, that it would have been all too easy to go to Brian Griese, but to say, Rex Grossman's our quarterback. Rex Grossman's our quarterback. Rex, we're 10-2. We're 12-2. He stayed with him. Do you think that shows a great deal about the character of Lovie Smith and his leadership?
Yes, it did, and it showed that he's a lot smarter than we are for the most part.
How were you feeling at that point?
I was ready to... benching. I was, man. I really was. I just got frustrated with Rex. You see the talent, you know, the arm, the Brett Favre gunslinger mentality that he has, but, you know, he has to be a lot smarter, and I think in the New Orleans game, he showed that he can think. I mean, you know, he made some good plays, which was just not throwing an interception or not giving the ball away, you know. And so I hope, you know, when we go in here down in Miami, playing on grass, I might add, that it's going to be a better game than people are giving it credit for. The Bears, to me, they're not the 85 Bears. I never compared them to that. And I think if we win the Super Bowl this year, it'd be a lot more significant than 85, because everybody thought we would win in 85. Nobody believed us this year, so...
Okay, one last thing, then we're going to go to Vinny Del Negro on the NBA beat and just talking about this, the exciting notion of these two teams, the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns. But I thought I'd play for you, Kelly, a quote from Ron Jaworski about the one thing I'm sure you were wondering about, which was the performance of Rex Grossman.
All righty.
Well, I actually thought he struggled in the game last week. I just got done going through that tape. He had some opportunities for some plays, overthrew some guys, and missed some reads as well. Left some plays on the field, as I like to say. And it was clear to me the way New Orleans played that game. They wanted to get a lead. I think they wanted to put the ball in Rex Grossman's hands, playing from behind. You know, they wanted the Bears to have to throw the football, not want to throw the football. And, you know, if you have a good offense is throw the football when they want to, not when they have to. I think what the Colts will try to do is try to get a fast start to this game, put that Bears offense in a known situation where they have to throw the football. Then, of course, the pressure begins to mount on Rex Grossman.
That's Ron Jaworski. How were you feeling back then? Were you ready for a change to Greasy?
I was, what, you talking about in the New Orleans game?
I was talking about back in the day when everybody was saying,
Oh, yes, I was.
You know, let's make a change when they were 10-2. I bet you were one of those people, too.
Yeah, Nick, I was, man. I was ready to throw him under the bus, man. But Lovie stuck with him. Lovie stuck with him for a reason, and it paid off. And Ron Jaworski, you know, he haven't been on the Bears side all year. And you know what? Maybe it's going to be Rex Grossman's defining moment. You know, you don't know. Maybe this kid's going to come out and do some great things. I just think that, you know, we're going to have a chance, Nick. I'm not saying we're going to win. I don't know. All I know is we're going to perform better than what people think we are. And Peyton Manning is a great quarterback, no doubt. And I would have preferred to see New England, because when we played against them, we lost, but we beat that team up. And the next game they played, I think it was the Jets, they lost 20-0 because we put a beating on that team. So if we come out, play aggressive, stick to our game plan, I think we have a great chance to beat this team.
Well, Kelly, we appreciate your calling, buddy. And I'm saying it's going to be closer than people expect. And I do believe that Peyton Manning is going to be mentally more relaxed, and yet he's been able to withstand this pressure. But the bottom line is you've got two great coaches, two coaches that are serene leaders. Their teams will have confidence. So I think it makes for a great game. I'm looking forward to it. But thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks, Nick.
Kelly from Chicago. Call us back, my friend. Ron Jaworski had a couple other things to say about what the Colts defense needs to do against the Bears.
Pretty much, yes. You know, the one thing that you know, the Chicago Bears, their foundation is running the football. You look at how, and it's the power running game. You look how their offense is built, particularly in the offensive line. This is not a movement, counter tray, misdirection offensive line. It's not an athletic offensive line. It's a road grader bunch. They come off the bus. It's downhill, power running. They very seldom go east to west. They very seldom use misdirection. They get a body on a body. They try to move the pile. If they're able to move the pile, they keep their offense on schedule. They can go to the play-action passing game and Rex Grossman and allow him to attack deep down the field, which they've been very successful at when they run the football well. So I think clearly when you look at the Chicago Bears in this matchup, it's going to be paramount. They run the football.
So there you have it. There's a way for the Bears to win, and that, I think, says that Ron Jaworski is not always against the Bears, despite what Kelly says. Vinny Del Negro, I thought we'd just go around the league and just get your take on a few things. Appreciate you joining us. The Timberwolves fired Dwayne Casey. Now, everybody was saying the Timberwolves were really exceeding expectations. What do you see in that?
Well, obviously, you got the superstar in Kevin Garnett there, and they haven't had much success. They've had some different coaching changes. Obviously, Flip Saunders was there for a while with the Pistons now, and they have some younger players. A couple of them have been injured. McCants from North Carolina has been injured a little bit, but now Randy Foy from Villanova, they got high in the draft this year, starting to perform better. But I guess they just didn't feel the team was as consistent as they wanted it to or going in the direction, I think, probably that Kevin Garnett wanted to go in, and they made a decision. Randy Whitman, who I actually played with a little bit, is a great guy. He's been a head coach in the league before. He's been an assistant for a long time. Friends with McHale, and obviously there must be a comfort factor there. So it'll be interesting how all that plays out.
But it's interesting when you fire a team, albeit 20-20, when they're still in the playoff hunt. So what's your rating on that decision? A little bit surprising?
Well, you know, it's always tough. I mean, but, you know, as general managers or presidents of basketball operations, whoever's running the show, obviously those decisions are difficult, but they're there day in and day out. They're understanding and hearing what the players are saying. They're looking at the consistency of the team. They're looking at their superstar and how comfortable he is and the production of the young players. And obviously there wasn't a comfort factor there. Dwayne Casey, who was only there a year and a half, he had been an assistant in the league for, I think, about 10 years. So it's unfortunate, but it's part of the business. It's not fair. But a lot of things aren't fair, and, you know, everybody, you know, in the Timberwolves organization from the hierarchy, the owner, Glenn Taylor, must have felt that this was the right way to go, and he's the boss, and McHale pulls the trigger.
But, Vinny, you know, you put it in a way, you express it in a way that Kevin Garnett, you know, had to be part of that. Do you think that on the team that I believe is the best-run team in the NBA, and I'm totally upfront about my bias, that the Suns would allow one player to have that kind of input?
No, but every situation is different. Obviously, that wouldn't be the case with the Suns, but we're in a different situation and we're built a little bit different. But every organization is run differently. And, you know, Kevin Garnett, they have to make him happy. They haven't built a team around him. I don't think that he's happy with over the years, and they want to make sure they keep him happy because he's the big draw there and he's a superstar player. But they got some young players. I'm a fan of Randy Foy. I like him as a young player. I liked him in the draft last year. He continues to put up pretty good numbers and continues to improve. But it's tough. I mean, they're in the Western Conference. The Western Conference has a lot of very good teams. Everyone seems to get better every year, so it's not easy. So at 20-20, they just feel like they're real close to go on a 3 or 4 game losing streak where they're not even in the playoffs with a system. So shake it up now. Maybe turn the corner a little bit with Randy Whitman, who's very familiar with their system, who I'm sure has a great relationship with the team, and see what happens there. So obviously there's probably some things that are not being said, but overall it's ultimately the owner's decision, and then Kevin McHale has to abide by that and make this make that situation as comfortable for everybody that he can to get into the playoffs.
We're talking with Vinny Del Negro from the Suns, the guy who's been doing announcing and been traveling around the league, doing a lot of college scouting. Let me ask you this about college scouting. Besides the fact that it wears your rear end out, going to all these different games, tell us about the talent out there this year. Do you think that overall the talent in this country is continuing to improve? Do you see a trend in terms of, you know, where the talent is finding itself in, at positions?
I think the trend always changes. Obviously, last year's draft was not near as deep as this year's draft. And I say that only from the expectations of a lot of the freshmen and sophomore that are very talented will opt out and get in the draft. But that will depend. But the draft this year is much deeper. There hasn't been a great point guard draft the last couple years. There's a few this year, but nothing in terms of star point guards. But there are some big guys. Greg Oden, obviously, from Ohio State, is a superstar kid player. Kevin Durant at Texas. The list goes on. Brandon Wright at North Carolina will be a star player. So there's a lot of kids, but every year it changes. Trends are hard, but this year should be a very strong draft.
When we come back, and Vinny, if you can stay for just a couple more minutes, I want to ask you about the two streaks that are most interesting. 14 straight with your own team, the Suns, and, of course, the Nuggets, and this impending, very obvious impending showdown down the stretch. And, of course, Allen Iverson, 5 straight wins. He's making everybody, it appear, play a little bit better in Denver. We'll be right back on Sports Byline in just a second.
Jim Feist presents the Proline Sports Radio Show, direct from Las Vegas, airing Friday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. and again Saturday mornings from 10 till noon. Get the information the Vegas books don't want you to have each and every week with the best handicappers in the country, featuring Jim Feist, Dave Koken, Scott Spreitzer, Glenn McGrew, and Bob Donahue. Let the experts break down this week's games. That's the Proline Sports Radio Show on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches, expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring out of corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to HomeBiz, the number 47.com. That's HomeBiz47.com.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games with Vinny Del Negro. Vinny, do you really think there are any other teams that can compete that really are close to the Suns and the Mavericks at this point?
Well, you have to put the Spurs in there. Whenever Tim Duncan's on the floor, they're always going to have an opportunity. Ginobili and Parker have to stay healthy. I don't think the Spurs are as deep as they've been in the past, but they definitely have the experience. They've won championships. They know what it takes. They will definitely be a tough, tough playoff team. But Dallas and San Antonio obviously are the two in the Western Conference that everyone talks about. But, you know, the Lakers, have played better than anyone expected. Their younger players are developing. Obviously, in Denver, you have Carmelo Anthony and Allen Iverson. They're going to start playing well together. They're two of the most explosive offensive players in the league. So the West is tough. Houston with McGrady and Yao Ming, when they're healthy, they're tough as well. So the list goes on and on. So there's not going to be any easy matchups in the playoff. You're going to have to go in there healthy and ready. But obviously Dallas and Phoenix getting most of the attention just because of the way they played early in the season.
Do you think it's interesting that in all the leagues, one conference tends to dominate the other? I know the Suns are 17-1 against the East. The Eastern Conference, clearly the weaker conference. In the NFL, it's the National Conference. In Major League Baseball, it's the National League. Do you think there is a reason for that?
It's, you know, we talked about trends before. You know, before when the Bulls were winning championship, or the Pistons, or the Celtics, the list goes on. So it's just depending on trades and where players get drafted and, what deals are made and who's running the show on certain teams, and it all comes into a factor. But there's some great players, obviously, in the East. The Detroit Pistons have won a championship over there. The Miami Heat won the title last year. So maybe the depth isn't as strong from top to bottom, but teams are finding ways to win in seven-game series. Anything can happen. Players can get injured. Teams can get on a roll. You look at Dallas last year in the finals, they have a 3-0 big lead against the Heat. The Heat end up getting on a roll. Dwayne Wade goes crazy for a few games, and the Heat get the championship. So trends are tough. It'll go back and forth, but right now from top to bottom, the Western Conference, obviously the much better conference.
Vinny, you look at not only talent, you look at how it fits into a team, and that's what makes it interesting for me. The Nuggets, with AI there, they're averaging 116 now with him and Melo in the lineup. They've won five in a row. But they're also making J.R. Smith better. They're making Marcus Camby better. You talked about Marcus Camby before, so did Rick Bucher. I mean, last night, 10 points, but 5 block shots, 8 rebounds. Tell me about the effect of having one more player, just as the Suns have Amari Stoudemire back in the lineup, how that makes it easier and creates more opportunities for all the others.
Well, it's all about attention. You know, it's attention. You know, you have to give a lot of attention to Iverson, because one-on-one, you're not going to stop him, even sometimes double-teaming him. Same with Anthony. So the more talented players you put on the court, the more attention you have to give to those players. Now you put too much attention on Iverson. Anthony has single coverage on him, and he's going to make you pay for that. Marcus Camby is long and athletic. He kind of controls the paint for them. He's had some injury problems in the past, but when he's healthy, he's long, can shoot the ball a little bit from the perimeter, but he blocks shots, and he's big up front. So they have a nice balance there. J.R. Smith, a player that's going to get single coverage. They're going to run. They're going to get him in the open court. He's very athletic. He's young. He has excellent athletic ability, so he's going to get to the basket, and he's been shooting the three streaky, but he can make shots, so you have to respect that. So they're going to be a team that, obviously, when they get on a run, can give teams a lot of problems, because they have a lot of guys that have to be double-teamed, and when they play up the up-tempo style, it's hard to get control of that game. So they're going to be someone, obviously, that are going to be tough to deal with.
Okay, final question, and we'll start with the voice of someone you might recognize.
And the only thing you can really argue is the defense, because we are the number one offensive team. And there's some validity in their argument. But to say that our guys do not play defense, we laugh at it. It's not right. Statistically, it's not right. And you know what? To be compared to the Indianapolis Colts, that's a compliment. If we can do as well as they've done in the last few years, we'll take it.
That's, to me, a fun thing to say. Are the Suns in some ways treated like the Indianapolis Colts? They don't really have that run defense. They're not really respected, but they've got that fantastic offense. Let's look at it now, because you guys are playing tremendous basketball, but everybody's saying that it's Dallas that has the edge of defense.
Well, I mean, I think it's a fair comparison. There's no question about it. But, like Mike said, to be compared to a team that's going to the Super Bowl isn't a bad thing. So they got over the New England Patriots, problems, and hopefully we can, beat whoever we need to beat in the playoffs and get on a roll. I think our defense has improved this year. It's just that everyone looks at offensively, we're so powerful and put up 110-plus points a game, 131 last night. We can just score the basketball. There's no question about it. We're built that way, but we have to get better defensive. We have. Amari has improved defensively. Rebounding-wise, we have to get Kurt Thomas back in the lineup, get our rotations down. And it's a long season. A lot of adversity is thrown at you. It's how you handle that. We have great character guys, and I expect big things from this team. And we should be in the hunt, no question, to be in the finals and try to win a championship. But talking about it's easy, doing it is very tough. We will be well prepared if we can stay healthy, which we should be able to. And I like our chances, there's no question. But you have to get on a roll at the right time. Dallas has played well. I know of Avery Johnson as well as anybody playing with him in the backcourt for 6 years. He'll have them well prepared. They have gotten better defensively. Nowitzki and Nash will fight out for the MVP. And that's what it's all about. You have to compete at a high level, and I know our guys will be prepared.
Well, buddy, you were prepared. You may not have felt like you were prepared, but you're prepared for today. We appreciate it, Vinny. Continue your great work, and we'll check in with you in a week or two.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, my friend. All right, well, we're going to now travel. I want you all to visualize yourselves traveling across the Pacific Ocean thousands of miles to early morning in Australia. And we're joined by, as always this week and last week, Luke Jensen, IBM Advantage. Luke Jensen, are you awake still, buddy?
I'm doing great, buddy. I'm doing awesome. Getting ready for my run.
Hey, I like being your wake-up call. Well, Luke, last night, a tremendous surprise to me. Fernando Gonzalez played lights out, no inconsistency, straight sets against Rafael Nadal. He broke Nadal five times, 41 winners, which were almost triple Nadal's 14, 10 aces. That's 76 aces in five matches. That's even more than Andy Roddick. What's going on with this guy, and why haven't we heard more about him?
Well, he's been almost like a freak show in tennis because he has the biggest forehand in the game right now, clocked over 109 miles an hour. He never really had any structure both on the court during matches or on the practice court to maximize his ability. He's a gold medalist at the Athens Olympics in doubles. Very talented, lots of firepower, lots of speed. But the key recently is that even at his in his late 20s, mid to late 20s, he's decided to get even better. How can he maximize his talent, just like Andre Agassi did with his career? And so he hired one of the greatest coaches in the game right now, which is Larry Stefanke, who's coached a number of number ones in the world, from John McEnroe to Marcelo Rios, Yevgeny Kafelnikov. And the first thing the guy said, Larry Stefanke, is say, hey, we got to drop 10 pounds. And we have to start being more consistent, waiting for our opportunity. And even at this age, the player willing to accept another point of view and get after it. And that's exactly what he's done over the last 2 years, and he's playing much better for it.
Well, tell us about the match itself and what it was that Rafael Nadal was not able to do. Here's a guy that dominates his opponents. We talked about his physicality. We made the analogy. He's sort of like the straight-ahead fullback. You know, he's a power runner. He's somebody that's going to knock you out, maybe more like a Deuce McAllister. But what happened in this game? If he was a Deuce McAllister,
Joe Frazier, another, guy, straight-ahead guy coming in, knocking blows. But one thing, when you have a big weapon that Fernando Gonzalez has, you have to use it at the right times. And when you look at this match, it was just fantastic. You break down the X's and O's. You know with Nadal, he's going to give you a hard, heavy topspin ball. He's going to move and compete really well. So you have to pick your spots. And I think when Gonzalez came out first, he believed he could win. If you don't step on the court and you don't believe you're the better player, if you don't believe you can win, you're in a huge hole just to start out. And so he first believed that he could win. So he comes out and was very consistent with his weaker shot, which was his backhand. He sliced it, he drove it, waited for his opportunities, they hit the big forehand, and then he got more confidence as it went along, and he basically was throwing roundhouses. He was throwing knockouts on Nadal, and it never, never quit. From first ball to last ball, he was the better player.
Look, let me ask you, when you've got a weaker stroke, you talk about 109 mile an hour, flat out, destroyer forehand. So you know Nadal, the lefty, against a righty, he's going to be pounding that backhand. What do you do to protect your back end? What do you do to not create more opportunities for your opponent when you know that he's going to be attacking your weak spot?
You change up the matchup. It's real simple. You know that he wants to drive the forehand to your backhand, and so you get out of that scenario as fast as possible. You'll take your backhand and then either slice it or hit it down the line to his backhand to try to change up the pattern. And the easy shot, the high percentage shot in tennis, is always to go cross court. It's over the low part of the net. It's a very high percentage shot, and it doesn't get you in trouble. But by going down the line, you're taking a little bit of a risk because you're going over the high part of the net. You're changing the direction of the ball, which is a lower percentage shot. But you have to get out of that scenario because if you go back cross court, eventually Nadal's going to go out, hit you, put you out of position, and then you're in trouble. So you have to change it up, and that's exactly what Gonzalez did. Ball would come into his backhand. He would get it right away down the line. Sampras used to do that to hide his backhand. A lot of players do that.
What happened with Nadal's injury? He actually called a medical timeout after the third game of the third set. Tell us about that and how he played when he came back.
Well, he had a hamstring issue, and he went in and had it taped up. And, you know, he's a fighter. He's a warrior. I mean, he didn't complain. He came back out, did the best he could. And to me, he was doing a lot of running. I don't think it really hurt him because he was getting beat up from first ball. He got beat up after the injury. He's a guy who relies so much on his wheels because he has to run so much. He's not your typical serve volley, but he's an attacking baseliner that wins with his feet and wins with his heart. So I think in the end it didn't make a difference, but it was Gonzalez consistently staying mentally on the ball. He never dropped the ball, never let the number two seed back in the match.
Let me ask you this, because we talked about how much better Andy Roddick is playing, and I want to talk about that in the last segment and his match against Federer. But with Nadal also, you look at their physical abilities, their talent, but ultimately, as we talk about on the show, the name of the show itself in Head Games is sometimes they can find that edge. It sounds like Gonzalez found a mental edge with his new coach. What about Nadal? What kind of mental edge does he have with his coaching?
Well, I think he's got his Uncle Tony, you know, and Uncle Tony's pizza likes to keep it in the family. When you keep it in the family, you feel more confident. You believe in that they have your back, and when you have a good combination like that, it's very successful. And as long as it's keeping up at that standard, as long as he keeps staying at one or two in the world, I think Uncle Tony's pizza is going to be around for a while.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, look for a change in a year or so. When we come back, we're going to talk with Luke about the matchup coming up. Andy Roddick, a refreshed, renewed, excited, and effective Andy Roddick. A more overall game for him coming up against Roger Federer, the maestro, the best player in the world, the Tiger Woods of tennis. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and you may be paying too much. Consider these possible rates. A man, age 45, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, $1 million of coverage, is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $113, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years.
That's right. Guaranteed level rates for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Termbusters specializes in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. So call this number now for a free quote.
800-430-6715. 800-430-6715. Call 24-7. 800-430-6715. 800-430-6715.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real Baseball, Baseball's Golden Era. The Way America Witnessed It. In the Movie Newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real Baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
Welcome back. I want to thank Jared Bell from USA Today for our Super Bowl and NFL roundup. Vinny Del Negro on the NBA. And tomorrow's show will have Jim Beattie with Major League Hot Stove, Mark Schlereth, and Larry Weissman. Mark Schlereth from ESPN Primetime. Larry Weissman from USA Today. More on the Super Bowl. And, of course, as always, the soon-to-be legendary, mythical, the great one, Luke Jensen. Luke, let's talk about great ones in particular. There is no question Roger Federer is the most respected, most overall quality player in the world. But Andy Roddick is going to make an edge. He beat him in an exhibition. He did very well in Shanghai. Tell us how this match plays out.
Well, that's going to be so interesting. It's really the matchup we've been waiting for at ESPN, because this is Andy Roddick, who's never been so good mentally and physically in his career, even though he's been number one in the world, even though he's won a Grand Slam before, the U.S. Open. It's Roger Federer that pulled away from the pack over the last few years. Here's the key. Andy Roddick's backhand has got to get out of that scenario away from Roger Federer's forehand, because Roger likes to rip the forehand. Now, they're both righties, so you're going to look for Roger Federer to rip the forehand down the line. As soon as that happens, Andy Roddick, with his new backhand, where he's choking up a little bit on the grip, which means he has more control, he needs to rip that cross court. He needs to slice it cross court to get into either backhand-to-backhand scenarios or open up the court to attack. How effective he can be attacking on that play, how effective he can be returning the ball, being aggressive, that's going to be the tail of the match right there. And does he believe, does he really believe deep down? He's had match points at the World Championships in Shanghai. He beat him in the exhibition like you talked about. Is he ready to take the next level in the semis of a slam?
And you talk about Gonzalez and his level of belief. In your opinion, do you believe that Andy Roddick is now at that next level where he truly believes he can beat him, not just wants to believe that?
Absolutely. He's ready to. There's no doubt about it. He made four errors in the previous match against Marty Fish in the quarters. He has never been more prepared, more confident to take that next level.
All right, brother. Thanks for taking it to the next level, i.e. just getting out of bed. Go for that run. We'll see you tomorrow, Luke.
Game on.
Game on, buddy. Luke Jensen, ESPN IBM Advantage. Luke Jensen with our Aussie Open update. Go to Head Games Radio for all the highlights. HeadGamesRadio.com. You can get all the highlights from the past shows, whether it's Howie Long, whether it's Chris Berman, and more. Appreciate it if you check that out. Let us know what you feel about the website. We'll see you tomorrow with Jim Beattie, Mark Schlereth, Larry Weissman, and Luke Jensen.